for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, October the 27th, 2004. Ninth Annual Minister's Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Jerry McGee of Abiding Life Ministries of Lindale, Texas, is the speaker on this.
We honor you, and Lord, we crown you King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are worthy. You are Abba, Father. You are mighty God, and we just thank you. Thank you that you love to show us our idols, Lord. You love to show us our false gods. And God, we just cover this place, ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus. And Father, in Jesus' name, we bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places over us and over every authority figure all over this world that's trying to do what's right and those assisting them that is trying to do what's right. And we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us or divination against this meeting or divination against the elections, divination against this, our president, divination against us. And we declare that every spirit that will not confess Jesus is Lord cannot work in this place. We praise you. We loose holy angels into this place, whatever kind of angel we need. And God, we just praise you for what you're going to do this 3 days. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You know, I want to just say this. I was thinking about this when I was worshiping. There are a few places in this country where you can get a pure word that it, and where people are people of integrity. There's so much psychology mixed in with things, and God's Word says in Colossians, see to it, no one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. God's Word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. Last night, I don't know if I was clear about repenting over, I've been repenting over eye scriptures and where I could not read my Bible with these glasses, when I was sitting out like that. This morning, with my glasses, I could read my Bible with no strain. So I'm encouraged that God is going to heal my eyes. I'm going to keep on repenting over eye scriptures until I can throw these away if it's right into eternity. Besides, any problem, I want to say this, any problem you have, it's with your arm. Look up arm scriptures and repent. Every place you have violated this word, you're under judgment. We're taught these watered-down doctrines today that says, oh, well, you have to sin a lot before you get a demon. That is a heresy. When you obey this, you're blessed. When you disobey it, you're cursed. And I love what the insight that Chris brought out last night in 1 Samuel 7. I had never seen that. And that was such a revelation to me. And basically, it's just telling you, James 4:7, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. If you don't do that, you'll never get free. And so the subject that I've been given, and I see why, because Chris led up to it last night, is idols, the root of your demon problems, or the root of your demon problems. An idol is behind everything that hurts you. An idol is behind everything that pushes your button, and I love what Chris said of, I think last year, your hot buttons, your hot wires. That was good. Wherever you have a hot wire or a hot button or a button pusher, there's an idol behind it. Wherever you're depressed, there's an idol behind it. A few years ago, I went to a healing conference, I say in 96, and the basic conference was wonderful. And a lot of things I teach came out of that. But then I went to the advanced conference, and 99% of it was psychology. And now what did I say that for? I don't know why I said that. But Lord, you know. Oh, I know what it was. There was these clinical psychologists, and they said when a person's depressed, pull down the shade. Keep it dark. Don't talk to them. I thought, get rid of your idols, and you won't be depressed. behind depression is idolatry. Then you get depressed, you go to the world for answers, and they dope you up, and then you're off in la-la land, falling away from the faith, don't even know what town you're in. And if you're taking psychiatric medicines, please know I'm not criticizing you. But as Henry Wright says, there's a more excellent way. God's Word works. 50% of the people here, in the United States, have mental problems. Can I tell you, it's more than that. One, they say that 1 in 5 children have mental problems. It's more than that. My daughter-in-law teaches second grade, and she said that when she has a teacher's conference, only one parent out of the whole class comes. God help us. If we don't get some evil person in as president this year, it's coming, and we know the Word says that. I'm not ready for it, though, yet. I'm saying, God, give us some more mercy. It may be mercy to get somebody like that to bring the church to repentance. All of these doctrines out here that don't conform you to godliness. God is tired of that. And America is so corrupt. And we've been corrupt. You know, when I started doing word studies on the eyes, I could tell you I was repented up, confessed up. I couldn't tell you one sin in my life I hadn't confessed. After the first 3 hours I spent repenting over eye scriptures, I saw so much sin in my life. You know, God says, without knowledge, my people perish. Here's where the knowledge is in God's Word. We don't read it anymore. We go to all these flim-flam things with gold dust falling out of the sky, which is witchcraft. All of that stuff is heresy. Very little. It's hard to get those people to sit under a repentance teaching. And I am so thankful for the godly men in this room and this is why I come, is because I know that I'm going to hear a word of repentance here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I'm so thankful for Glenn and Dr. Null and Chris and Jim. These men are men of integrity, and that is lacking today in the body of Christ. In other words, just whatever you want to do, a little sin's okay because we're all sinners. That's not true. God says there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few, not many, few there be that finds it. I have spent 22 years trying to deliver lost people. And I'm seeing that a lot of people I've been trying to deliver are just lost. They've never been born again. You know, being born again means God gives you a new heart. And you're surely not perfect. But can I tell you, it grieves your heart when you sin? But idols, and so everything that hurts you, there's an idol behind it. Everything that makes you angry, there's an idol behind it. Everything that you're afraid of, there's an idol behind it. Everything that terrorizes you, there's an idol behind it. And can I tell you, there's an idol behind probably 99% of sickness? You know, I know there's a sickness unto death, and I know there's a sickness for the glory of God. But in that, Jesus turned and healed that blind man. When Jesus said, it's not anybody's sin. But 99% of our problems is sin. And if you have a problem with your legs, look up legs. The answer's in this Word. If you have a problem with your mind, God says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there's an idol behind your rebellion. You've turned from God. You've turned to Antichrist. You've turned to a false god. There's an idol behind everything that rains on your parade and my parade. How many of you would like to change other people? Am I the only one? Recently, I won't go through how God taught me, but I realized some people were getting on my last nerve. And I was saying, Lord, finally, after griping to my friend, I think I called Laurie back there, and I was griping to her, I said, you know, God must be trying to show me something. She said, yeah, God's probably trying to show you something. And so what he tried to show me is how if you want to change other people, you've got to change yourself first. You've got to get the log out of your own eye before you can deal with their specs. And when you do, one of three things will happen. Either God will change them, you won't care if they change, or your perception of them will change. And when you see someone mirroring something that's getting on your last nerve, then you've done one of two things. Either you've done it, or you've judged your mother and father for doing it. So you just need to repent, and so do I. And that's really made my life a lot happier. Because there's people that get on my last nerve. So I'm changing me, and now they can't hurt me because I'm dealing with my log. Okay, first of all, what's an idol? According to American Heritage Dictionary, an idol is an image used as an object of worship. a false god, one that is adored, even blindly or excessively, something visible but without substance. 1 John 5:21 says, little children, guard yourself from idols. We say, well, I don't worship a Buddha. I don't fall down. I don't bow down to Ashtoreth or Diana. You know what our false gods are? You've got to love me. You've got to meet my needs. You've got to notice me. You've got to value me. You've got to love my God as much as I do. Right? You know how I know this? And saying, God, what are you trying to show me? 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Galatians 5:19 and 21 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, envying, drunkenness, and let me put in drunkenness, gluttony, prescription medication, psychiatric medicine, alcohol, and spiritual drunkenness. If you look up the word drunkenness in the Word of God, you say that God gives the harlot over to drunkenness because of idolatry. Now, the harlot, you say, well, I'm not a prostitute. Well, when you pray a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, you're going to be the bride of Christ. And if your heart goes after a false god, then you've committed spiritual adultery and you're a spiritual harlot. And do a word study on wine and drunk and drunkenness, and you'll see that God gives the cup of the wine of His wrath to the harlot that makes her drunk. And 80 or 90% of what calls themselves church today are spiritual harlots. That fits all of us, because all of us have had areas of our life where we've turned to false gods. And I can tell you at this moment, I've given God all my gods, but you know what? He looks down from heaven and He sees a whole bunch more He hadn't even showed me. Thank God He don't show it to me all at once. I couldn't take it. Just giving up one's hard, huh? When He told me to get rid of caffeine, I'm here to tell you, God, I can't teach seminars without caffeine. Can I tell you, I have more energy. God said it's not going to be by your might or by your power, but by my spirit. Or it's not going to be by caffeine. It's going to be by my spirit, says the Lord. And I can tell you today, I have more energy without caffeine. My whole life I've had that drugged down feeling. And you know what it was? Drunkenness. A veil, a mist, a fog over your life. If you've not ever committed the sin, the generational iniquities of the forefathers. Okay, so drunkenness, carousing, idolatry, that's having a false god, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, practice, there's a difference between practicing sin and practicing these things versus occasional. Practice means that's your lifestyle. That's what you do. You know, if you practice these things, it means you're not working on it. Am I saying that God's going to send me to hell because I've got idols that I don't see? No, but I'm accountable for what I see, and so are you. And so we've got to let go of those things if we want freedom. Colossians 3:5 says that sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed is idolatry. Ephesians 5:5-8 says, for this you know with certainty that no sexually immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2 says that the spirit of Satan works in the sons of disobedience. We can make idols out of people and things. How many of you know that when you make an idol out of a person, they'll turn on you every time? Just ask me, I know. The scripture says, the folly of a fool is his discipline. Wherever you are in folly, you will be disciplined by God. You overeat, folly, you gain weight. You take drugs, the folly of that keeps you in a drunken state and you can fall away from the faith. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 4:1, in latter times, men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And I can tell you, psychology runs the church today. The Word of God is not being taught in the. In fact, this all sounds weird to most people because there's not the Word of God. One little scripture is not going to do it unless you want to dissect it and tell everything it means. My son has such a gift of taking two or three scriptures and pulling more out of two or three scriptures than I have ever seen. I'm thankful for that. You know what? The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him. Those who fear Him turn away from evil. I don't want the stuff out there. I want the secrets of the Lord. And so to fear Him, I have to keep on turning from evil. You know, the Bible says that Job was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth. He wasn't perfect. Only Jesus Christ was perfect. But why did God say that? Because he feared God and he turned away from evil. When he saw sin, he turned from it. And can I tell you, a born-again person will turn from sin when they see it. Because the grace is there for you to turn. And the minute you turn, you're delivered. I have an intercessor friend that one day something just came up in her and she didn't know she was having a heart attack or what. I said she'd been crying out to God for 3 months for deliverance and God just came down and delivered her. The thing even tried to choke her when it was coming out. She didn't know if it was a heart attack. I said, you just got the deliverance from probably one of the biggest demons in your life. Praise the Lord. And so, wherever you're in folly, you will be disciplined. If you're submitted to God, you're not in folly, right? But wherever you're getting it, hey, God's not pleased about something. Psalms 41 says, I know the Lord is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. Proverbs 16 says, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. 1 Samuel says, turn from your false gods and God will deliver you. An idol's an image, which can be an idea or a picture in the mind. Behind all iniquity is idolatry. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and all iniquity is as idolatry. So any sin is idolatry. Idolatry is a violation of the first commandment of God where it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or in a likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. That means you need to get rid of a lot of these little icons that you have sitting around. They bring demonic spirits into your home. Exodus 25, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation on those who hate me. Now let's see who are those who hate him. Go to Psalms 81, please. Psalms 81, verse 15. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him. So if we pretend obedience, we hate the Lord. Okay, look over here in Psalms 83, verse 2. For behold, thy enemies make an uproar, and those who hate thee have exalted themselves. Now, there's a lot of people in this country that call themselves prophets, and I have a problem if you call yourself a prophet, but if you're a prophet, you don't have to say you are. And if I see pride, arrogance, in fact, there's one person, if I named him, you'd know who I was talking about. And I went, boy, I wanted something this man had. Every time I'd hear tapes about him, I'd get convicted. I need to do more. And I went to the meeting, got my pen and paper out, and I was really wanting to listen to everything he said because I was going to take it in. I didn't go to judge. The first 30 minutes he said, I mean my so many times that I just quit taking notes and started counting it. In the next 45 minutes, he said, I mean my 277 times. Now, that man is a false prophet. In 1987, I was listening to some tapes by another person that called himself a prophet. I thought, this man is in such error. Recently, I found out he's into homosexuality. He's been disciplined. He's into homosexuality and alcoholism. And if I mentioned his name, you'd know, but I'm not here to criticize. I'm to say, hey, the church, we need to wake up. You need to know what God's Word says so when you hear what comes out of somebody's mouth, because what's in their heart comes out their mouth. And you can know them by their fruits, Jesus said. So if you exalt yourself, you hate the Lord. If you pretend obedience, you hate the Lord. Those who make themselves a friend of the world, James 4 says, if you make yourself a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And then Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And his commandments today is loving the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, our neighbor as ourselves. And how are we opened up to these idols? Because of our selfish ambitions, obviously. We were opened up to idols because of the idols of the fathers or the idols of the children. In 2 Kings 17:41, it says, for while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols, their children likewise, and their grandchildren as their fathers did, so they do this to this day. So generationally, our parents just keep putting, because they don't train us up in the way that we should go, it's like they train us up to be idol worshipers. So generational iniquity to the forefathers is a way that we're opened up to idols. Another way we're opened up to idols, when as little children, we go to bed angry and we go to bed hurt, feeling not loved, misunderstood, or whatever, are all things we need to forgive our mother and father for. Unconsciously, we're angry about these things. And God says, if you let the sun go down on your anger, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. And as little children, we don't know we can go to God because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. So instead of going to God, we turn to a promise we make ourselves. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone who will listen to me. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone who will cherish me, hug me, kiss me, love me, value me, treat me like the queen I am. And it's unconscious. And those vows are the false gods you trust in. Those are your hot buttons. Those are the things that that you've been wounded about. Anytime you turn to a false god, you will stay wounded until you turn back to God. Now, at the root of all your demon problems is idolatry. At the root of your anger, your fear, your depression, your worry, your concern, your terror, your plague is idolatry. Go, if you will, to Deuteronomy, please, 32. And I want you to see scripturally that what I'm saying behind your idols are all these negative emotions. Verse 15, 32, 15. It says, but Jezreel grew fat. Now, Jezreel is another word for Israel, for the people of God. Grew fat means to not be overweight fat, but their heart became so calloused that they couldn't hear God, and they began to produce from the flesh. Does that just fit me? I've come out of generations of people that hang in there and let the front end drag kind of people. Human flesh, taking pride in human flesh. It says, God says, they made me, and this is also one of the roots to cataracts, because a callus on the heart has to do with cataract, I believe, is a callus on the eye. See, every time I submit to God, I make my heart soft, tender, delicate. Every time I don't submit to God, I harden my heart. And the more I harden the heart, the more everything else gets hard. Your eyes, for example. It says, they made him jealous with strange gods, with abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately. And put by sacrifice to demons, put Revelation 9:20 that says when you worship idols, you worship demons. Verse 20, then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. Now, I want you to see the fruit of idolatry. So I will make them jealous, and then I'm going to provoke them to anger. And then, verse 23, I'm going to heap misfortunes on them. So you see, that's a fruit of idolatry. And I'm going to use my arrows on them. Put Job 6:4, where Job said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. Well, God had just given Satan permission to touch him. So we're turned over to the arrows of the Almighty. Then we're going to be wasted by famine. That means lack. Consumed by plague. You see, that's the fruit of idolatry. And bitter destruction and the teeth of beasts I'm going to send upon them. Put 1 Peter 5:8 there that says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. And with the venom of creeping things of the dust, outside the sword shall bereave and inside terror. And then it says in verse 28, they lose their understanding. They're a nation lacking in counsel. They lose their understanding. Understanding is a necessary ingredient for salvation, for fruit producing, for healing, and for deliverance. In the parable of the sower, it says the different soils that they fell away, you know, the sun scorched them. One of the soils, the seeds fell beside the road. The birds come and ate it. The second seed was sown on hard ground, which represents a hardened heart. And so it didn't produce fruit. And then there was some seed sown among the thorns where the worries and cares and pleasures and riches, desire for other things choked the word. And then the last soil, the good soil, it produced fruit 130-fold. And it said it received the seed of the word with understanding. How Hosea says, just after it says harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding, it says at the bottom of that chapter, it says those who lack understanding are ruined. And so understanding is the truth that sets you free. Understanding is the knowledge that keeps you from perishing. Proverbs 15 says when you go to God, you'll gain understanding. If you go to God for His discipline, you will gain understanding, the Word of God says. Amen? And so if you can't go to God and you just think God isn't going to answer, you've got a mom and dad issue. If your mom and dad wouldn't ever answer your question or ever solve a problem or never had anything worth saying, you've made judgments to where you're not listening, and that blocks God from speaking to you. I don't have a problem asking God because my 90-year-old daddy will tell me today whether I want to hear it or not. I love him so much. He's 90 years old. He still plays golf. He's not on any medication. He still drives. He's had a few wrecks, but... My sister said, oh, we need to stop him from driving. I said, don't you dare. Leave him alone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for my daddy. My daddy will answer your question. I told him one day, I said, Dad, if I was on an island out in the Pacific and I didn't have any way of getting off and I could only have one person on there, I'd want you on there with me because you'd figure out how to get off there. Okay, so we're the idols of the fathers or the idols of the children. And when we turn to these vows, these inner vows, and it works any time the law of God is violated on your life. There's an automatic judgment. And how I know this is because my mother used to always bail me out when my daddy would try to spank me. I loved it. I was a brat. But I knew that was wrong. Years later, I saw the same thing happening in my granddaughter's life. I said, God, what are you trying to show me? He said, you judged your mother for that. See, the law of God was violated. Any time the law of God is violated, there's an automatic judgment because God says, parents, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And how you're trained up sets the default. That's what you've got to possess. That's your wilderness. That's your going around the mountain experience. That's the things that are being mirrored in people that are getting on your last nerve. And so this training up process sets the default. And the only way we can break it is to go back and take accountability. Go back and ask God to forgive us. We're suffering because of our failure and the failures of our forefathers to train up our children in the way that we should go. Ephesians 4 says, fathers, train up your, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if a father is not doing it right, you're automatically got an anger problem because the law of God has been violated. Deuteronomy 4, if you'll turn there, please. You'll see that we are a product of the generational iniquities of the forefathers. My eyes are getting so healed that my regular glasses are not working too good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says in verse 1, And now, O Israel, hear the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform in order that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word of God, which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Revelation 22 says, if you add to or take away from the word of God, plagues. And so he says, and we're the product of our forefathers adding to and taking away from the word of God and not teaching their children. Verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So God said, go into the land and teach these things. Teach the word of God to your children. You know, my mother and father were good people, but I wasn't brought up in the church. I had two great-grandfathers that were Baptist preachers and a grandfather that was a Baptist preacher. But you know what? The word that's come down in my generation has been a watered-down word. Keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding. in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. They don't say that about the church today. Keep the word of God so people will look at you and say, oh my goodness, God's people are great and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God and whenever we call upon him? People don't say, well, boy, this person, you really have a great God because he hears your prayers. Verse 9, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically God's telling our parents to train us up and teach us the Word of God. And we've not been taught that. Okay, there's a yoke of Jesus in Matthew 11 that says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, right? And so for us to submit to him, we humble ourselves, right? Okay, there's a yoke of, this yoke of Jesus is light and easy. We find rest for our soul. Sin loses its power over us. The law is fulfilled because we're walking in love. He's our teacher. We become like our teacher. The scripture says after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. I heard someone quote Henry Wright as saying that 50% of pastors are into pornography. I believe it's more than that. And you better make sure that the teacher is teaching your teacher. And not perfect. There's no perfect human, but make sure your pastor is as submitted to God as he knows how to be. His commandments are not burdensome. You'll be doing the will of God. Fear will not be dominating your life because you won't have that yoke of slavery leading to fear again. You'll be a son of God led by the Spirit of God, according to Romans 8. You'll be producing much fruit. Your steps will be ordered by God. You'll have no need of a teacher because his anointing abides in you. You'll be producing much fruit. There'll be no condemnation on your life. You know the scripture that says in Christ there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The rest of that's been left off. The rest of that, it says there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. They've taken that out of the Bible. There's no condemnation when you're walking in the Spirit, but if you're walking in the flesh, you'll live in guilt and condemnation, and you'll have no faith to believe God. 1 John 3:21 says that if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. So you can't muster up faith. Just get a clear conscience, and you'll have faith. It's a gift. Amen? And then you'll have perfect peace because your mind is stayed upon Him. You'll be freed from Satan's power. You'll be a slave of righteousness. You'll live up to the full measure of the stature which is yours in Christ. And you'll walk in the four ordained good works that God called you to walk in when He let you be put on this earth. And you'll be conformed into His image, not the image of all the people around you. Okay, go if you will to Romans. Well, let me just tell you for time's sake. In Romans 8, it tells you to put on the armor of light. In Ephesians, it tells you to put on the whole armor of God. God has an armor. And it's a shield to protect you. But Satan also has an armor. His armor is what you're trusting in. Luke says that if you want to disarm the strong man, you've got to agree with God. And so as long as you have an idol, Satan's got you bound. Satan holds you, and he takes pride in what you take pride in. And you'll just say, his armor is what you're trusting in, what you're taking pride in. And you just say, you know, if I just had someone to love me, I could be happy. If I just had a ministry, I could be happy. If someone would just value me, I'd be happy. If I just had all the sex I wanted, I could be happy. If I just had all the affection I wanted, I could be happy. If I just had a new house, I could be happy. If somebody would just quit ignoring me, I could be happy. If nobody would reject me, I'd be happy. You see, all of that's I, me, my. It's all pride, right? Amen? Well, Job said Satan's king over all the sons of pride. Is that what Job 41 says? Okay, I was going to show you this illustration. The devil didn't want you to see it, but you know what? God didn't care. He can speak to your heart. But it's an idol. And I've got around this idol, I've got just a few of the demons around every idol. Discontentment. Scattered. Now, the world calls scattered multiple personality disorder or disassociative identity disorder. Mental problems. Around every idol, there's fear. I fear I won't get it. And if I don't have it, if I have it, I fear I'll lose it. And if I don't get it, then I get angry. And then I get hurt, and then I get bitter, and I let the sun go down on my anger, and then I want to kill myself, and then I want to kill you, and despair. And then I get depressed when I don't get it. And then I have paranoia that somebody's going to take it away or somebody's talking about me behind my back. There's about a million fears around an idol. Fear of failure, fear of speaking the truth in love, fear you won't love me, fear you'll reject me, fear I'll fail. Oh, there's, you just go on and on and on. If I have someone to that I think loves me and it's an idol, then I'm jealous that I'm going to lose it. I'm possessive. The imaginations of my heart run riot. I have a running spirit. Now, this is just around an idol. And I'm not even naming everything. Selfish ambition, envy, covetousness, self-pity, abusive speech, perverse speaking, strife, your house will fall, the house of the pride will fall, fretting, stewing, striving, suspicion, jealousy, dishonor, ill will, stress, destruction, I'm cut off, labor, sorrow, paranoia, lust, contention, blindness, because my idol blinds my eyes. Ezekiel 14 says, when I have an idol, I put before my face the stumbling block of my iniquity. When I mock my father, scorn my mother, let the sun go down on my anger, the Bible says the ravens of the valley pluck out my eye. I know this is a major root to this in my life. I mean, I'm not, outwardly, I've never dishonored my mother and father. I've talked so, well, I did my mother. I'm sorry. Forgot about that. Lord, ask mother, Lord, forgive me. But inwardly, I have judged my parents, and you have too. Any place there's a violation of the Word of God, the law of God is violated. Jealousy, dishonor, destruction, stress. You know what stress is? Distress? Distress means stress. You look up the word distress, and you'll see that wherever you've got idols, wherever you're not producing fruit, Isaiah 5 says that he takes down the hedge, and then you become trampled ground. I'd say you'd be a little in distress, wouldn't you? If you don't have his hedge around you. And you go to the doctor and say, doctor, I've got this. And he says, well, I can't find anything wrong. It's just stress related. He's telling you that you've got a demon problem. He's telling you that you're in stress because you're not in God's rest. Another fruit of idolatry is unrest. And that's a curse. Why is it a curse? Because the place of rest is to come under his yoke. It's light and easy. When I come unto him because I labor in a sorrow, he gives me rest. It's a picture of me giving up control of my life. Letting it go. Wherever you fret, you stew, you worry, you have a fit, there's an idol behind it. God is teaching me, and about the time I think I'm dead, he shows me something else I'm alive to. Yesterday I was dead, today I'm dead, tomorrow. How do you know you're not dead? People start getting on your nerves. I love what Tamara's husband says. He says, you know you have a log if their speck is getting on your last nerve. Rejection, defeat, God will let people reject you. Unbelief, pain, vexation. You got pain in your body, emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain. Its root of it is vexation, grief, and anger. Remove grief and anger from your heart. Get rid of your idol and put pain out of your body. Amen? If you're on pain medication, just start repenting over the word. Fruitlessness, disappointment, dread, anger, rage, hatred, malice, criticism, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, deception, anger, wrath, hurt, slander, rotten bones. Passion rottens your bones. That's the root to bone cancer. Blood is made in the bones. That's the root to blood problems. I guess that's why a doctor gives you a blood test. Is that right, Dr. Rowe? He's the most godly doctor I've ever known. Bless him. Premature death. He's ministering for the great physician. Driven away, depraved mind. Romans 1 says you exchange the truth of God for a lie and you worship the creature rather than the creator, and God gives you over to a reprobate, depraved mind. That's one of the roots to Alzheimer's. If there's ever a time in your life, in my life, as a believer in Christ Jesus, that we're not putting to death the deeds of the body and going forward, we can resign ourselves in old age to sipping Ensure and watching satellite TV. And I tell you, I don't want that. I mean, I look at Glenn, and Glenn, how old are you? Do you give your age? He's 84. You wouldn't believe that he's 84. You know what keeps him going? He's got a purpose to live. He was put here for a purpose, and he's fulfilling his calling. And it's like a carrot on the stick driving you on. And Chris looks like he's about 30. And he has to be 52 at least. Right? And look at Jim, how young he looks. See, deliverance. You know, when I was doing this word study, when I got the word on wither, I looked that up in the dictionary. It has to do with premature wrinkling. You know, in Psalm 32, where David said, "I kept silent about my sin and my body wasted away," it means my body became old and worn out. And you know, we have to get old, we have to die, but we don't have to be senile. Because God keeps on giving us the mind of Christ as we're transformed by the renewing of our mind in this Word. And in these days, you're not going to walk in victory if you don't stay in the Word of God. And so, you know the consequences of idolatry. Do you now see that we have a demon problem and have a God problem and not a demon problem? How do I get rid of my idols? Well, last night, Chris showed you how. Go to 1 Samuel, please. Now, the Spirit of God showed you through Chris. That was good. In verse 3, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 1, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, 2, remove the foreign gods and the Asherah from among you." In other words, the anger, the fear, the worry, the depression, and what's behind it is the idol. You lay down the idol behind whatever's making you depressed. Whatever's making you angry, there's an idol behind it. Give it up. Whatever's making you fearful. One thing I do, and if you know a better way, let me know. But what did Abraham do when God told him to take up Isaac up the mountain and kill his son? I take it up the mountain by saying, "Lord, if you glorify you the most for that horrible thing that the devil's telling me to happen to me, then let it happen. But Satan, you can't touch me in Jesus' name. Lord, if you glorify you the most for nobody to love me." You know, coming here and speaking to peers, I mean, I never get nervous. But when I'm coming here, I always get nervous because I'm sitting around all these great teachers. And I just suddenly say, "Well, Lord, if you glorify you the most for me to fall on my face and for not to come out, then so be it, whatever." And when Glenn couldn't get the overhead working, I said, "Okay, God, if you glorify you the most for me to have it, so be it." And there's no fear. It disarms the enemy because I'm saying, "God, I trust you so much with my life that you know what I need, if I need it, when I need it, if I need it, who I need, when I need it." I'm saying, "God, I just trust you." And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. Now, I'm not saying to pray that way if you just have a request. God says, make your request known. If you ask anything in my name, he'll do it. I'm talking about when you're traumatized by fear or there's anger or somebody's hurting you, die to it. When your children don't call you and you get your feelings hurt, die to it. When your grandchildren don't recognize you like you think they ought to, die to it. How do I know all of this? Because I've had to die to it. So you identify your idols. It says, remove the foreign gods from you, direct your hearts to the Lord, and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. I'm telling you, that's deliverance in a nutshell. And can I tell you, that's not taught a lot of places. And if you don't do that, you're wasting your time. You'll never be free. So identify your idols. What makes you angry? What are you afraid of? Where are you hurt? Where are you depressed? What depresses you? Lay it down. But you probably have to go back to a childhood issue where it came in. Find out the doorway of where it came in. And give up your life. Jesus said in Matthew 12, if you give up your life, you'll find it. You hold on to it and you'll lose it. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, and you're the wheat. It abides alone, but if it dies, it produces much fruit. Now, in Matthew, Jesus told the Jews, he said, I'm taking salvation away from you and I'm going to give it to a nation producing the fruit of it. In John, it says, bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So bearing fruit proves to be his disciple. And then choose the yoke of Jesus and lay down your idols. Now, I want you to see the good news here in Deuteronomy 32. Go to Deuteronomy 32. We were reading about losing their understanding. If they were wise in verse 30,
that one, they'd know that one could chase 1,000, two could chase 10,000, and that's going to be a real key verse in these last days we're living in. Verse 31, indeed their rock is not like our rock, and of course the rock's Jesus. Even our enemies know that themselves judge this, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom. Now Jesus is the true vine, so when we have idols, we're connected to the wrong thing. And then it talks about their grapes or their fruit, if we have idols, is the grapes of poison. Their wine is the venom of vipers, so you see the bitterness. Now, here's the good news in verse 36. For the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants, and I want you to circle when he sees that their strength is gone. Right? So stand up, if you will, and let's ask the Lord, where is your strength? What is pushing your button? What's your hot wire connected to? It's connected to an idol. What are you fearful of? God has not given you the spirit of fear, so who has? So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth, Lord, that sets me free. Lord, you said that cry out for understanding. Give me understanding, Lord. I cry out. Lord, I want the truth that sets me free. Is there any area of my life that I'm holding on to? Lord, these negative emotions, the anger, the fear, the worry, the dread, the depression, and all these things, what are they connected to? Show me, Lord, what makes me mad. Now, in doing that, you're going to have to go back to childhood, because you turned to it in childhood when you made yourself a promise that when you grew up, life's going to be different. See, you made a vow. And, you know, some people have said, well, isn't it good to vow you'll never drink? Well, when I make a vow, I'm really saying, I will not. Satan says, I will sit, I will be like, I'll raise my phone above the stars of heaven. I. Versus, God, please help my daddy not to be an alcoholic. Oh, God, please help me never to be one. You see, there's a difference between that dirty rat versus humbling myself. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, miracles, healing, cures, have discerning of spirit, all your gifts. Lord, I receive them by faith. Show me what I need to let go of. Give me the grace to do it. And then just repent of anything God shows you, and then when you're through, if you'll sit down, then we'll pray, and then we'll be through. Lord, forgive me for idolatry. Lord, all the things you've shown me, my idols, I take them up the mountain. Just like Abraham took up Isaac. And Lord, if it glorify you the most, for everybody in the world to keep treating me mean. For everybody in the world to reject me. Not love me. You said a servant is not above his master. If you were rejected, I'll be rejected. Lord, I live for your glory. And I want the perfect love that casts out fear. Lord, I forgive my parents that I couldn't trust them. I forgive them for not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them for worshiping false gods. Lord, I want to put away the false gods you've shown me. I want to serve you with all my heart. I want to let my light so shine before men that they should see my good works and glorify you, Lord, in heaven. Forgive me for anger and fear and depression. When you said my steps are ordered by you, you said I have the mind of Christ. And if I have the mind of Christ, I don't need medicine to dull my brain. Lord, in Jesus' name,
forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. I forgive my earthly parents that they were angry and that I was afraid of them. I forgive them for their violent outbursts, their rages, their physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse. I forgive them for their lack of nurture. I forgive them and my forefathers for adding to and taking away from the Word of God. I forgive them for not training us to know Your Word. Lord, I thank You today that You've let me know You and that You're letting me hear truth and You want to change my life and the lives of my children. Lord, I take accountability for the lack of discipline, the lack of being trained up in the way I should go, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will You start with Adam and Eve and let Your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through these things that I've confessed, through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, through the curses of plagues and sicknesses and blindness that's come down on me because of adding to and taking away from Your Word. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. I forgive my parents for not teaching me to not let the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for not honoring my mother and father, not forgiving them by sundown. I forgive them, and I ask You to forgive me, Lord, for turning to false gods as a child and as an adult and not turning to You. Lord, I didn't know I could go to You because I wasn't trained up to know that. But Lord, I come to You now. And I just lay down my life. I choose to give up my life that I might find it. I choose to be like the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. I've been abiding alone. I've been so lonely because of my idols. And Lord, I'm willing to die that I might live. And that I might produce much fruit. Forgive me, Lord, for not living a repentant lifestyle. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. Forgive me for anger and hatred and bitterness. I forgot to say this. The demons I named is just around one idol. So you can change the name of the idol and add, you know, pretty much the same demon. So the minute you lay down the idols, the demon's gone. Nobody even has to pray for you. And some of you, when you were repenting, were feeling relief. So, Lord, I praise You. So you can change up the name of the idol, and the demons pretty much stay the same. So you see, we're loaded down. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I lay down the idol. I ask You to forgive me. I lay it down. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I speak to the demons that have been attached to these idols, and I say, move. I speak to hatred, and I say, move. I speak to torment, move. Contention, move. Strife, move. Depraved mind, move. Spirits that would cause me to fall away, move. Spirits that drive me away, move. Rotten bones, move. Premature death, move. Slander, move. Hurt, move. Anger, move. Wrath, move. Depression, move. Lord, thank You. You said that if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I shall say to the mountain, remove. You didn't say You'd move it. You said I would say to it, move. So I say to my idols, be gone. And I speak to bitterness and I say, move. Unforgiveness, move. Deception, move. Depression, move. Mental illness, move. Resentment, move. Murder, move. Criticism, move. Say it with me. Dread, move. Disappointment, move. Fruitlessness, move. Humiliation, move. Vexation and shame, move. Pride, move. Pain, move. Isolation, desolation, move. Defeat, move. I break curses of idolatry coming down from generations. Every demon that has profaned my holy places, move. All spirits of rebellion, move. Destruction, move. Dishonor, move. Humiliation, move. Jealousy, move. Stress, move. Distress, move. Paranoia, move. Lust, move. Labor, move. Suspicion, move. Striving, move. Stewing, move. Fretting, move. Strife, fear, self-pity, move. Perverse speaking, move. Envy, covetousness, move. Fear of failure, move. Fear of rejection, move. Fear of not being loved, move. Fear of saying no, move. Timidity, move. Failure, move. I break your power. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Lord, I bind up their broken hearts. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Lord, I ask you to rebuild their cities. Raise up the former devastations of many generations. Lord, for their shame, give them a double portion. Let them be, Lord. Let us be a royal diadem in your hands. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. As you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of a lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of a lamb. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Okay, next time somebody gets on your last nerve, what are you going to do? Want to hammer them again? Okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Did I do that myself? This girl, I was telling you, was getting on my last nerve when I started asking God what he was trying to show me. He said, you did it too. He's just like you. You don't do it anymore, but you used to. You know, the things you used to do, that's the land you have to possess. Amen? And the things you're still doing, too. And Lord, and God will give you the grace to let go. Praise you, Lord. The Scripture says, my people will volunteer freely in the day of my power. So, Lord, thank you for the day of your power. Hallelujah! Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.